Everybody on this fine weather day would entertain a motion that we open our pre-council work session.
Let's do it. So moved.
Second.
I like let's do it better. All in favor?
Aye.
A lot more options. First off, any agenda items on the later meeting that you would like some clarification from staff on now? Sally, please.
On the warrants registry, it has warrants registry. It has road improvement fee or something, road improvement that we pay on page 11, 53, somebody's writing, 5200.
Oh, that's?
Four.
That's a GL number, so 5300.
Yeah, that's a GL account.
It said road improvement fee, Weaver School District for 245. What's that?
So, when the city purchased the property from the school district, the utility account was never terminated. And it was just recently discovered. So there was actually a refund that was issued to Weaver School District for some of the road improvement fee that was implemented. Also, the total refund was about $10,000, but the bulk of it was out of the storm drain fund because of the surface that it was covering. So that's what that was for.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that just seemed weird. I thought, how come you didn't pay?
There was a check. So it's to the Weaver School District, but with a multi-GL account number that was.
Okay, that just sounds weird. Okay, and then the other question was on the PTIF account. I guess that's fine. The mayor doesn't need to be on that to move counts around. That doesn't matter. I mean, the mayor doesn't need to be on that. Those, he listed as a person that moves money around. Or not moves money around, that can add or delete accounts or whatever on the PTIF account that we're doing.
Well, and that's basically what this is doing. It's allowing him to add me onto the account.
And Matt. But not the mayor. I mean, I'm just saying, the mayor doesn't need to be added to. To me, that just seems weird. I would think the mayor would want to be on it, too. That's just my question. I don't
believe Matt is being added to the account.
Yeah.
It might be in the resolution.
That was in your packet. In your packet, in your report, rather, you said.
Maybe that's my misread. I'm trying to still pull up my packet. I thought it was in the ordinance itself that Bradshaw typed. Let me look at it.
So,
you know, I just thought, why is the mayor on there too?
Well, based on my understanding, I'm not sure what was given to be put into the packet, but currently only Janine as the city treasurer is on the PTI account, and now they have required as of June 30th that was the gap. So this is the mayor authorizing that I be put on the account as well. We actually only have one account in the PTIF. Many cities have multiple accounts. Some of them have had as many as 10. We do not. We only have one.
So let's clarify this. So Utah State Auditor is requiring that we have at least two people on the account. It doesn't specify who's on the account.
No, it does not.
Okay. So our decision is, do we have to put at least two people on the account. We can put more, but we have to at least put two based on this rule. So we don't. The decision is, do we agree with who we're putting on, or do you want to put on someone else? You want to put on the mayor, then I guess you could. But you don't have to. And maybe we don't want that, or maybe we don't want Steve on there, or maybe we don't want Matt on there. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that we at least have to put one other person than the one that we have, one way or another.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, yeah, we have to do that mosquito abatement too. So I know that. I just curious why we did the mayor as well. But I guess that doesn't you don't necessarily touch the money, you just mess with the accounts. I don't, it's just weird. I just, it just seems weird.
Okay, let me just get that.
Did you shift the shelves around?
This is absolutely changed.
So at this point in time, Janine is the only one that.
Yeah, is on there.
She's the only one on there. She's the only one that transfers money in or out. If she's out of town, like I go to her and say, hey, I need a month-end statement. So this is for practicality more so than anything. It turns out to be me that gets put on here as the second person. I don't think our processes are going to change any. It's just that if, say, tomorrow on the way to work, something dreadful happens to Janine, and she never
sent it to me.
You know, then the city isn't stuck with the fact that nobody has access to the account.
Really? No one does?
I don't right now.
And the mayor doesn't?
So if I could clarify, in the packet, in the recitals of the resolution, in one of the final whereases, it says, authorize individuals as long as they hold said offices, the city manager, the city treasurer, the city finance director.
Oh, okay.
That's how it's drafted. But again, back to Councilmember Strait's point, drafted.
Okay. I was just curious, because I would just think, but that's fine. The other one, if we go down to the fifth whereas, we need to fix, is that whereas? The fifth whereas, on behalf of West Haven. Maybe we want South Auburn.
Maybe.
Is that?
Don't remember the wheel, man.
That's it. I was just curious why the mayor wasn't on there.
Well, he's West Haven. He borrowed it from himself and just didn't change it.
Wow.
That's a good change. Good eye, Sally. Good eye.
So, that's all.
I wonder if they have any South London stuff in there.
Probably
a good chance.
Oh, that's very well loved.
Well, no,
we'll play your everything.
Okay.
Please have that for me.
Yes, please.
So, in the agenda, it talks about surplus items, but then in the packet, it doesn't talk specifically about them. Were those the ones that Lisa had emailed about?
That was my error. I just admitted him, but I did send you the emails, so it's what I sent you emails about.
And there was a request for a public hearing. Is that
she resolved that with Matt, I believe.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. So I was assuming this is to talk about it, but maybe it's not, because I didn't.
It's on the agenda. I just didn't send it.
Okay. We'll just talk about it.
On the agreement with Washington Terrace for animal control, our agreement says that it's effective immediately. Their agreement says it's effective July 1st.
That's a good question.
So the it's probably the resolution that says effective immediately. I'm assuming, I'm trying to find it here.
Page 98, section 5, says this resolution shall be effective on the 19th day of June.
Okay.
And theirs is on page 101.
Okay.
Might be a budget calendar here.
Well, the resolution adopts the agreement. So it's saying the resolution is in effect upon your vote. But that's accepting the agreement, which the agreement is July 1, because that's the term of the contract.
We agree on the 28th to enter into a agreement on the 1st, or however you would say that.
Yeah, the effective date of the resolution, this is saying passed and adopted by the city. So the resolution's in effect.
That's one of our, from what I understand, Chief, that's kind of one of our banners that we can fly high is the at adoption, is there anything about that that we should be aware of before our vote tonight, other than it's going great, or what?
Yeah, it works out really good for us. One of the things we run into once or twice a year is hoarders, but they hoard cats. And they'll have 100 cats in a very small home, and it takes many people many days to get that resolved. So if they have one in there to the city, and we have one here, then we have an extra employee, we can say, all right, unusual circumstance, we need extra help. Mike's got a love going into those places, they're nice.
It's a cringe.
It's all time. But then it works out well for coverage, if somebody's gone on vacation or sick or whatever else, then it helps us a lot.
Good.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? Okay, let's move to budget discussion. Matt, Rick, Steve?
Steve.
All right, thanks, Mayor. So for tonight, on the budget document that was emailed out to you, when you get into your regular council meeting, you will be adopting an acting budget, which will be in place for the city until August when you adopt the final budget. On the document that was sent out to you, the second page covers a list of items that are basically changes from when we met 2 weeks ago. I'm going to quickly run through some of the more prominent ones, if you will. First of all, I understand kudos should be given out. We received an additional outdoor recreation grant for $150,000, which I'm sure you're all aware of. This is going to go towards the Birch Creek Park project, so that I have incorporated into the new budget. The acting budget also incorporates the premise of what has been discussed for many months, maintaining the certified tax rate of 0.0029. For the last couple of years and beyond, the city, you especially as the governing body, have spent a great deal of time and energy in regards to sustainability for the city, looking at various models, if you will, amended models, and then amended models, and have seen that the difficulty of what it truly means to be sustainable as a city government. I mean, you'll recall the potential tax increases of 140%, blah, blah, blah. So not to rehash all that, but the acting budget incorporates the steps that you have taken and appear to be willing to continue to take in regards to that goal of sustainability for the city. And I think that is a huge thing, because it is helping you as a governing body put your goals and objectives for the city into action and into place, and then it's giving staff direction as a means to put those goals and objectives into action for the residents. So that is part of this acting budget that you'll be adopting tonight. Also within here, I've included the pumpulence for $900,000. I made adjustments for the charges services for the various enterprise accounts that were omitted from the budget last year that Councilmember Stewart caught. anticipated lease amounts for horsepower that the city will be entering into in July, those estimated costs have been in here. And then we talked also in the past quite a bit about the traditional lease package. Staff has met again, and that has all been finalized as far as what the needs far. There have been, you know, some minor tweaks on prices, but if you'll remember last meeting, we indicated that there were was 292,000 available for a lease payment. The RFP for that traditional lease has been sent out, and the goal is to have everything back so that on July 3rd, you can then move forward. I want to go over specifically some numbers this evening. Okay, so when the council adopted the tentative budget for property tax revenues, we had estimated $2.7 million. Now that we have the information in from the county and the state as far as the certified tax rate, if the city maintains the .0029, that will generate just over $3 million, okay, which is a difference of $223,000 from what was originally put into the tentative budget. So what this is doing is it's giving you an accounting of what staff's proposal is as to how those monies are distributed throughout the budget. First of all, the homeless bill, something that Matt and I would like for you to consider. Initially, the homeless bill amount was being transferred from the Housing Authority into the general fund to account for that $28,000. You'll recall it was mentioned some cities are going through truth in taxation just to recover this particular dollar amount. So in discussions with Matt, like I said, we'd like for you to consider that we not do the transfer from the Housing Authority and incorporate that out of that additional property tax revenues, because I think the goal of the city for that Housing Authority money would be to set up a program that allows low-income residents apply for a loan process to do home repairs. So that Housing Authority money is basically a perpetual thing that is there conceivably for many, many years for the residents to tap into and you know, make improvements on their home. If we were to not do that and just continue with the transfer to accommodate for the homeless bill impact, those monies would be gone in about 4, maybe 5 years. So something for you to consider. Question? Oh, no.
To be honest with you, I don't think it's your explanation. It's just my intelligence. I didn't follow what you were saying exactly, but that doesn't reflect. I'm just trying to. But it wasn't a question. I just haven't figured it out.
Go ahead. What you're saying.
Let me help out, because this probably for some of the newer council members and even the more tenured council members, we have not talked about that those monies for some time, because it took a back burner and we haven't got back to it. The city, so as a part of the creation of new, now they're called CRAs, right? Tax increment projects. Years ago, Olene Walker, the legislation passed that 10% of the revenues generated through those project areas had to be used, so it's restricted, right, for housing. And I don't know exactly the definition, but that was the idea, right? So for several years through the Hinckley Commons one, we collected that 10% and set it aside. The city had a program when I came on 8 years ago. It had some guidelines for those monies. The council, I don't even know how many years ago, maybe Sally Brent, we took a look at it. And the council started having a discussion about, well, how do we want to use that money? And it got left with, hey, staff is going to get doing some more work with it, tweak it based on some feedback we had received from the council, and it just hasn't gone anywhere because we still have it, trying to make those changes. So
if I remember, it's been a long time ago. It was people could get really low to no interest loans to put in a new roof. To make some
we spent doing what types of
yes
we actually made quite a list
yeah
yes
they would cut it the city
we're pretty close so we were pretty close on it
yeah,
so
we could
use those monies for these kinds of things, and I think it was mostly exterior
yes.
upgrades because it was all around, hey, let's spruce up some of these neighborhoods, and if money is the problem, then let's see if you could use it. You could grant the money if you wanted, but the discussion was, well, maybe it's more appropriate to do low interest loans where we can keep that revolving use of those funds. So that's the money we're talking about instead of
use those. So how much is those in that account right now? You said 5 years, 30,000, you got about 150 in there?
No, it's actually in the low to mid 80s. So.
Well, I think we need to get it going. We have the list, we have the thing, and we get it done. But
let's not use that for the homeless people,
oh, yeah,
I think
uh-huh,
is what
yeah.
staff thinks, and I agree with
it. It just keeps it.
Well, if they take it out of one side, they'll give it back on the other side, right? It's stipulated how you use it. In other words, this is just a reduction in our sales tax revenue, right?
The homeless bill is, yes.
So I don't understand why it's there.
Isn't that just...
Well, because in the tentative budget, the transfer from the housing authority was incorporated to make up the monies that are going to be lost to the city because of the homeless bill when they reduce our sales tax revenues.
Yeah, you can recoup it back on this other area, right?
Yeah, you can recoup it from the housing authority or...
But it has to stay there.
Pardon?
But it has to stay in the housing authority.
No, it will be transferred out of the housing authority yeah. into the general fund because it's replacing the sales tax revenues that are being garnered.
And that's dollar for dollar.
By the state.
By the state, yes.
So,
Or, like I said, some entities are using increased property taxes to offset the amount that they are going to be losing in sales tax revenues.
I don't understand why you're doing that with our property taxes, though.
Well, what I'm showing is that based on the tentative budget and the maintaining of the certified tax rate, there's $223,000 of additional property tax revenue.
I understand that.
And I'm just, in the acting budget, I've now reversed the transfer from the housing authority, so that $28,000 is then going to come out of this $223,000. It's showing then that the general fund is going to be held harmless because of the homeless bill. And the housing authority money is going to stay intact for potentially these low-income residential loans or grants that are decided to be implemented.
So it's, if I may.
Meeting, we had taken it out. You took that 28 out of the housing authority.
Steve, if I may, I think I'm
because I remember asking the question yes. about it.
To Brent's point, the reality is that 28 will come out of our sales tax before we even see it. So
yes.
that's where it will be truly reflected. What Steve is trying to do is to say, okay,
here's how we're getting it back. I understand.
These are the changes.
But you could just have your sales tax be $28,000 less.
We didn't have that $223,000 before, and
that's
we
right.
actually still don't.
Yeah.
Nor do we actually have the $200,000.
Well,
so what's our total amount of maintaining? Because isn't it about $200,000? Or is it more than $200,000? If we went to the .002635, what would be our collections of property taxes for this coming year?
$2,736,079. We'd be sure.
Make less, we made less.
So you would be.
So it's really not.
So you would be less. you would be less than even what was in the tentative budget.
Okay, so you projected,
this is what I projected in the tentative budget.
So you were only anticipating $51,000 in additional revenue?
I was projecting maintaining the certified tax rate and a 3% growth in market value, okay? Well, as we discussed last time, the market value has increased more than 3%, so that's where this is coming from. So okay, I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit, but so this is the maintaining of the certified tax rate. If you were to do nothing, the county state proposed rate is 0.002635. That's a difference of 0.000265, which is a 9.14% decrease in your certified tax rate. Okay. Is it okay if I move forward?
Yes.
Okay. So this is something for you to consider in the acting budget then in regards to addressing that. Then I allocated an additional $161,000 to the Birch Creek Park project because there was some discussion in regards to that as well.
Steve, that's outside of the grant?
Yes.
$150,000?
Yes, this is outside the $150,000 that is coming from the outdoor recreation. Yes. So this particular line item is seeing a $311,000 increase from the budget document 2 weeks ago to the budget document that you have before you tonight. Okay, then the Pompulence payment I recalculated based on interest rates, and it's $5,200 higher. And then on the traditional lease,
that's $5,200. Per year.
Okay. Right. Because, again, last time we were talking about it, and initially the percentage was like 2.23 or something, and there was a comment made about using a higher interest rate. Well, the state code stipulates you can either use the PTIF interest rate or the rate that is for the US Treasury note for a comparable length of time. And at this point, the 7-year US Treasury note is at 2.875. So that's what this is calculated at. And then on the traditional lease, the traditional lease package has been put out on the RFP, like I said, for up to $1.9 million. Now that's not all general fund, but that's the cumulative total. In the acting budget, there is an allocation for a lease payment of $308,000. Again, that's based on a projected interest rate. We will have those numbers firmed up, hopefully by July 3rd. The bid closes on June 29th, but that's an estimate right now. So this $15,000, 2 weeks ago I had estimated the lease payment to be $292,000. Well, we're working off of $308,000. So basically though, what this is all doing is it's giving you, as the governing body, an idea of where this property tax money would be allocated if the decision is made to go ahead and maintain the certified tax rate. I know there were some desires, you know, about the parks, which is being addressed, and we're trying to address not 100% of everything, but we're addressing portions of everything the best that we can with the monies available. Yes.
So when we made our amendment to this year's budget, we pulled out the lease, right? How much, and that was 300 and something?
It was, I think, about 295.
So, okay, 300,000. And you pulled out money that didn't carry over in the parks. How much did not carry over in the parks?
None of that was pulled out. Not through a budget amendment. If it wasn't spent, even though it was, it may be budgeted but not spent, it's just basically rolling over then on June 30th to the fund balance.
So the 200,000 we had set aside is still there minus the plans. It's money out for plans, right?
Yes.
So that is all there?
Yes.
It's not allocated, but it's there.
It's there. It'll be in the next budget. Okay. So anything else that was pulled out?
Pulled out?
No, it's like the
main
lease.
Thing that was
anything
removed
was like the lease.
No, the main thing that was removed from the current year budget was the lease agreement. Yes.
Okay, so you project a lot of $500,000 positive balance on this year.
Yes.
So really, if we looked at it, that'd be 200,000. Okay. But if it wasn't allocated, that means it wasn't spent. So how does that work?
Okay, so for example, in the current year budget, in the Parks Department, there was, say, $150,000, 1075-51. There was $150,000 budgeted. Okay? It is still budgeted, but it won't be spent. So when the books close, it really just, I don't want to say it goes away, but none of it was spent, and it was just a budgeted number. So it doesn't.
So do we still have that money to spend on the parks?
Yes.
Okay. That's.
Yes. Okay.
Or on something different.
So any questions then on the acting budget that you're going to be looking at tonight for adoption? I think this, you know, this process started months ago, and as we've been working on this, there's been, you know, every 2 weeks I've been telling you, okay, this is included, but I haven't necessarily repeated from the first meeting what was included to now. So I don't want there to be any shocks or surprises when you may discover that there is actually something here. For example, the monies for the compensation and position survey, that is in here. Okay, just so that you all know that. Yes, Councilmember Hensley.
I should know this, but maybe you just know it off the top of your head. Our various enterprises funds that pay into the general fund for the cost of services, yes, etc. Can you tell me in this budget approximately what each enterprise fund pays to the general fund in this year's budget?
When you say this year's budget, are you talking 18 or 19?
Yeah, 19.
Okay.
Then what we're projecting, they, yes, will pay into the.
Okay, so for the water fund, it's 190,000, plus or minus a few.
Yeah.
The sewer fund is 211. The storm drain fund is 124. The garbage fund is 83, and the ambulance fund is 65. And the calculation formula for that, I'm thinking, depending on what the future agendas look like, may, does it have to be an agenda? I'm not sure, but Matt and I have met, and we've gone through that formula that I've been using, and I know Councilmember Stray has been wanting it for like 3-4 years, So we're at a point where that can be brought forth so you can see how it's calculated and have a discussion on it.
Can you give the order of what those were again?
Water, sewer, storm drain, garbage, ambulance.
Are you just looking at the first page it says 6%
page 5.
No.
Because that's not what I heard.
Right. If you go to page 3, it actually starts at line.
There's also the
1039.
The what?
Those ones.
There's also the other fee. And that's just the charge for services.
Right.
There's also the franchise.
Yes.
Also the franchise fee.
So that was the next question. And I know that we don't have, you know, exactly a formula yet for that. Can you tell us the franchise fee for those same funds projected
yes.
19, please?
$109, mm-hmm. $127, $67, and then I have split up garbage and recycle. Garbage is $39 and recycle is $12.
Yeah, obviously I have zero.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
This may not be your area to answer this question, and this is based on two phone calls that I got from people in the city this week. They want to know, or at least their question to me was something to the effect of, how is the general fund not double dipping with these numbers? Theoretically, I'm not trying to make an argument here, just wondering, theoretically, the general fund is already compensated, our employees are theoretically already compensated up until last year for these services. If you can, maybe somebody can give me the best argument as to why we can justify these charges for service against our enterprise funds.
Sure. The charge for service is formula based and it's calculated on overhead, labor, supplies that are performed by general fund employees and paid for out of general fund expense accounts, which are being done as a service to the enterprise funds. So, for example, postage comes out of 1049, the general non-departmental
right.
of the general fund. Well, the bulk of our postage is 5,500 mailings of utility bills every month. So theoretically, that postage then can be allocated to those functions. Janine, the city treasurer, she oversees utility billing and the utility function. She's paid out of the general fund administrative budget, but 95% of her time perhaps is spent dealing with the functions and activities of the enterprise funds. So therefore, that allocation is part of the charge for service.
Okay.
Additionally, to tag on to that, there are employees who work out of those enterprise funds. And they are excluded from this formula. This formula is only general fund support of those enterprises. So John's got guys that work in the water department. Their salaries are paid out of water.
Right.
We don't now bill the general fund for those guys' time and service. But Janine and other administrative positions may have some of those.
For example, when you get the calculation, there's a small percentage of the council members that are then going to be allocated to the enterprise funds. Because you spend time, although maybe a small amount of time, but maybe more than what you actually realize, in dealing with the enterprise fund functions.
So here's the backside. Again, I'm not trying to argue, just the backside. We are paying ourselves nearly $1 million to provide services. Now we have expenses and employees, okay. And granted all that, but it's
about $620,000 for the charge, for the charge for service calculation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Thank you.
When did you come to the city?
Yeah, this morning at about 6:30.
Okay. That's kind of like the point difference between the commissions.
2004. Yeah.
Okay, so you might know the history of this. Why was there such a jump from 2005 to 2006 in the charge for services for sewer? Sewer almost doubled in 1 year. It was $85,986 was the charge for service, and it went to $152,640 in 2006. So it went up $70,000.
And right off the top of my head, I have though the history from, I think, that time up to current. And you're right, there was a large jump there, but I think also when you get to years, fiscal year 12 and 13, there was a 30% decrease in the charge for services. But there again, I would have to look deeper into that, and I can provide that as part of the discussion when for the whole calculation method. So you have not only the current calculation formula, but also the historical numbers. Now, will I be able to come to you and say that, well, in 2008, it was this because of A, B, C, and D? I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that.
Okay, so in 2017, that's not long ago.
Yeah, that was last year.
Sewer was 165,000. Yes, right. Now we're at 211.
Well, the difference there is because for the last, I want to say maybe the last four, possibly 5 years, the charge for services has only gone up by like maybe a percentage across the board. Where now what you're seeing is the I've worked on the formula and I found some old data on it. I recalculated everything based on that formula. And you're right, the sewer has gone up, but the storm drain and the garbage have gone down.
So, the way it sounds like to me is that the formula is not based on any sort of index other than if we raise sewer rates by 20%, then we're going to pay 20% more out at least for charge for services.
Actually, no, because now
that... It's that way.
Well,
because we also we raise rates, and now we go from 165 to 211.
Right. But see, now that I have the formula current and in place, that formula can just be modified every year based on the categorized expenditures, and then it will, at the end, spit out what the charge for service theoretically should be. It won't necessarily be, you know, just a 5% across the board charge for service increase. I can plug in all of those variables from those 30 to 40 different items that are calculated on the charge for service, and then you'll have a more representative number of where that's coming from and what it is for. So if you do like a, you said a 20% increase in sewer rates, well, that theoretically won't impact postage or Jeanine or other types of overhead expenditures. If there was, say, a 20% increase in wages, of course, that would then correlate into an increase in that charge for service. So the revenue or the fees, if you will, the fee increase is not going to correlate into across the board increase in the charge for services. At least I don't believe it will based on the way the formula is laid out.
Okay.
Steve, if I may, I think one could argue, you know, that it would be irresponsible if we did not charge ourselves charges for services. Just because we're the city, those are enterprises. Those are businesses that we run. We run a water system, we run a sewer system. And in any good business, you need, these are, I guess what I'm saying is there's nothing shady or,
yeah.
or you know, unusual, these good accounting practices. If you ran three or four different businesses out of your house, you're probably doing a very similar thing to be like, wait, I can't charge all of that to this business because, well, why? Well, because I use the same computer for all three businesses, so I could split that computer up and charge it to different businesses. So I guess that those enterprises run like a business, and
that's really, how you take their profits
and spend it on our parks.
Well,
and spend it on our people.
Okay,
I'm just saying, if you lower all those enterprise funds,
then raise it someplace else.
Then it comes somewhere place else. It really does.
Okay, but the argument, and that's what I thought would be said. So it would also be irresponsible for the enterprise funds not to charge the city for their sewer and water.
Theoretically, you're right, and that's why, so there's a public hearing coming up for that. Now, part of the reason why we don't actually charge the real dollar amount, if you will, is that because many of the areas, for example, in the parks, the water's not metered. And conceivably, it would be very expensive. The city can certainly do this, but it would be very expensive to put meters in wherever there is water or sewer applicable. So, yes, the charges there are estimates. And just to give you an FYI, or a heads up, this past week, the auditors were here for 2 days, and one of the things that they looked at was the practice of not charging ourselves. And they have indicated that we need to go a step further than just the public hearings and the notifications. They are going to require that we actually book the estimates into the financials. So what you're talking about is eventually going to be coming about. It's just a matter of implementation.
So oh, would we ever not meter a resident? So if they build a house,
true.
Meter that?
But I think some of the meters that we would have to put in are probably up to $10,000 per meter to install.
You don't have the infrastructure in place. Like for, so traditionally for a 3/4-inch meter is a lot cheaper than a 2-inch or a 4-inch meter feeding the park. So you don't have the infrastructure. When I say infrastructure, you have meter pit, meter itself, meter setter. There's a lot that goes in. You just don't walk up, cut two things and stick a meter on it. There's
that's
a lot
fine.
To it,
we
but
just, we could just get a formula.
Are you aware of any cities that charge themselves for water?
We can figure out exactly.
I'll tell you.
We have probably in the late 2000s we started putting meter setters in just because we knew this may be coming down the pipe at some point. So you do have some of your newer structures. It just made sense at that point in time to put the meter setter in, but we don't meter. You know, you still got to buy the meter and everything to do that. So.
But if we charge ourselves and the water, would come in, then it would go. I mean, isn't it circular? Isn't it just?
Well, but we just
talked about
it would be irresponsible for the city not to charge.
Well,
I mean, we can charge all kinds of things. I mean, we.
But yes, going forward, those charges not being charged will be booked into. And I wouldn't be surprised if for the year under audit, for fiscal year 18, all we did, we had the public hearing and we did the notifications. We didn't book the journal entries. I may still be able to do that before June 30th, but there's a good chance it may generate an audit finding because we hadn't booked the entries. But going forward, we will. There's about 5 minutes left. Any other questions in regards to the acting budget that you'd like to address before we move into the
So this includes, see, we've had discussions or wanted to have discussions about benefits and pay. This acting budget just implements the sustainability model. It's just already there. It's everything is there, right? So debate ends with this acting budget, really. Because we can't step back from this acting budget.
There is a 3% cost of living adjustment for the employees' wages incorporated into the budget. Yes. As far as benefits, the only in the sustainability model, I think it was communicated, benefits are calculated. When Fred went through this, he said benefits are calculated. I think he used a 7% increase. Well, don't get, I guess, fixated on the fact that means that benefits across the board are going to 7%. Because the reality is the only benefit that is increasing is health insurance has been adjusted for 6 months because it only covers 6 months of this budget. And it was projected that the health insurance would go up 10%. Now, we won't know the real number until we get our renewals in October. But as far as retirement, for all of the employees, tier one, tier two, that all stayed the same except tier one fire went up like 0.54% or something like that. Everything else has remained constant. Social Security, Medicare, it's always constant. Long-term disability has actually gone down from 0.006 to 0.005. But the only, I guess, benefit per se that is incorporated as an increase in the acting budget is health insurance for a six-month period. Dental has remained constant. Life has remained constant for the compilation of the acting budget.
Property taxes, this whole budget assumes.
Well, correct, yes.
And everything's in there. There's no, tonight is.
No. At this point, you still have, because you haven't gone through truth in taxation yet. So up until August, you can, if you wish to do nothing with the certified tax rate, that will be the discussion you need to have. But at this point, we had three council members indicate we're interested in doing truth in taxation of some method. Okay.
I guess the way it's presented here, though, if we don't do the truth in taxation, this is what you're going to lose. You're going to lose the Birch Creek Park.
You will. Well, wait. Let me back up. You will lose
$161,000
that is being allocated out of the property tax increase for maintaining the certified tax rate.
But that's not how it works. Anyway,
okay.
I guess that is how it works. I guess the bottom line.
So, Councilmember Strait, we're not trying to force feed you as a council anything. Steve's attempt here is to just say, here's a recommendation on how this additional property tax money could be allocated. So you're correct. You know, we make recommendations. You guys could say, hey, thank you very much, but we disagree and we want to put $250,000 to Birch Creek. And then we'll have a discussion about, great, let's look at that. You know, once you decide where you feel comfortable as a council as far as the truth in taxation, the tax rate, you know, once you settle on that, well, now we can really get into the details about, okay, well, what does that mean? I mean, if you can decide that you're holding to the 2.9, great, now we can get real specific. If you're not comfortable with 2.9 and you want to go something less or you want to go more, you know, so we have till August to finalize that, but we have to adopt an acting budget. So I think here's a good question to Councilmember Strait's concern about, well, if we vote tonight to approve an acting budget, are we locked in? I think as a council, you have to adopt an acting budget so we can continue to have a budget to operate on through July until we get the final budget in August. But you can delay implementation of anything that you want. If you're not satisfied with 3% COLA or the lease stuff, although that would you know, really, because we're trying to time everything so that we can get that equipment and get going. But, you know, everything we present as staff are recommendations, trying to understand what your priorities are and the money and say, okay, here's where we can come. So you still have total control of the budget, right?
Can I ask just a quick question?
Yeah, 1 minute.
1 minute. I just noticed that you came out pretty specific, you know, 161, 192, mm-hmm. but we left 13,450. I'm sure you had some type of formula or something to come up with these numbers. Where'd they come? How'd you come up with 161, 192?
Oh, I backed into it basically because, again, I started with this number and I started subtracting out various things. When I initially did it, I must be missing some of my notes. It came out because the balance, the budget balances. So
yeah. The 13,450, theoretically, we could have another line item that you backed into that 223 on.
Yes.
Thank you. That's yes. Right.
One thing I want to piggyback quickly off of what Matt said on the acting budget, there's also the utility fee increases. Now, we're set to put those into place July 1st unless you dictate, unless you indicate otherwise.
Well, I think the first one is fine.
So just, again, so that you know, we've talked about that a number of times, and one of your versions, the new rate chart was included in it. So unless we're indicated otherwise, because we know the certified tax rate has not been solidified, but for the most part, and the things that are tied to that, but for the most part, everything else is, unless you indicate otherwise.
Just one more question. I know we're voting on an acting budget. Theoretically, if it doesn't pass tonight, where does the city go from there in the next couple of days and weeks?
You need to pass. If you don't pass this document, I would recommend that you make a motion to adopt it with some sort of modification so that there is an approved budget in place until the final one is adopted in August.
So we could adopt the
current budget. I think what Lisa said works. Yeah. What happens is the city reverts to the tentative budget that was adopted May 2nd.
But could we adopt our current budget? The one we're working in right now.
The acting budget.
Nope, not the acting
2017.
Budget. Could we do our 2017-18 budget? I think we've done that before. I think that's what we did last year.
No, last year.
No, last year we did a tentative one.
You did the acting budget last year.
Can we adopt our current budget?
I don't know. That may be, if Bradshaw's here, would be a question for him. I don't know the answer to that.
So where is Bradshaw?
For the 6%, is that because of a need in the enterprise funds, or is that because of the sustainability?
It's a combination of both. Based on the needs that have been expressed and incorporated into the model to be sustainable within the enterprise funds, it requires a 6% increase on the usage of these.
I know. You've asked some questions. Okay. All right. Entertain a motion that we recess our pre-council work session.
Is that mean that we can do that after?
And if that's what you'd like to do.
If that's your intent, then it would be to recess the work session and reconvene following the regular meeting, just to make sure it's accurate.
So moved.
Second. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, possible reconvenience.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, let's quickly get to the other room. Thank you, Steve.